Okay, good evening and welcome to our village board meeting. It's November 13th at 7 o'clock. I'd ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee Bachner.
Excuse me.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan. Trustee O'Connell. President Aducci.
Wait, you can't call it.
Yeah. Now, yeah, he's remote, so let's.
Oh, he's remote. I didn't know he was remote.
He's working. Okay, I'm here. Okay, then I need a motion to allow Bob to join telephonically due to work obligation.
I move to allow Trustee O'Connell to participate electronically based on his work obligations.
Second.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
All right. Can I ask someone to say the Pledge of Allegiance stand?
Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you, Jessica. Okay. Special use. Let's say partway. Okay. Okay. So let's go ahead and Perry Murphy. Yep, Perry.
I apologize for my voice. I have more angiitis today. Anyway, my name is.
The microphone isn't on.
Yeah, green.
There we go.
Good. My name is Pierangela Murphy. I live at 1223 Park since 94, and before that at 1039 Lathrop since 1973. So I am invested both economically and socially in this community, as are all of the board members. So the first thing I wanted to say, I'm going to talk about the Lake and Lathrop fiasco. There is dignity in defeat. We have to remember that. I've been following the Lake Lathrop project since its inception nearly 6 years ago. Back in 2017, there were problems with this developer. I'm pleased the project was stopped, but I have comments about going forward. The project was literally toxic and then ironically continues to be toxic. I appreciate the board finally made a decision to stop moving forward with the Lake Lathrop Partners at all, but in the climate of high interest rates, the completion of a project on the blighted plot of land will be challenging. So I urge the board to avoid making the same mistakes which led to the current situation. Lake Lathrop currently has 2.251,244 million mechanics liens, as well as a $4 million damages owed to the Beverly Bank. So the property is clearly encumbered, and maybe in a few years with discovery, we may have an answer where the money was actually spent. But for now, we really don't have much. As a board, please continue to notify the residents of River Forest. Everyone wants a good solution. In this case, there were many red flags that I think were ignored. For instance, on Exhibit 1 of the verified answers, there's a $756,000 line item for pre-development administration. There's administrative costs of $590,000. And then for design, he spent $890,000. So those to me are red flags. Anyway, avoid mischaracterizations such as the one published in the update. Beverly Bank is in the business of making money. The bank acted quickly when it realized the developer's repeated failures. It's trying to recover its losses. River Forest also needs to start receiving tax revenues It's been 6 years since the village collected any kind of real estate tax revenues. River Forest residents closely looking at this project and therefore should be given ample opportunities for input to avoid another debacle that we face right now. And that's all I really wanted to say. Thank you.
Do I need to push something? No, I'm on. It's on the same topic on Lincoln Lathrop. The trustees and the residents need to correct the record and conflicting remarks by the village board and staff. Residents insist on adherence to facts, not inventions. The November 10th River Force newsletter update on Lincoln Lathrop states, since becoming lender in 2022, Wintrust Bank has been responsible for the project's oversight to ensure it came to fruition. A lender in charge of a development, its schedules, and the end result? What an unexpected function for a lender. In 2010, the $1.94 million in leftover TIF funds were earmarked for this development and were used to buy the five properties. Additional funds were used to relocate existing businesses. The village board previously stated the development was a public-private partnership with open book accounting. Village staff could have audited the developer's cost, suppliers, progress, sales and cancellations, payments, and balances. As the board reported August 28th of this year, village staff were aware by August the prior year that little construction progress had been made. What steps did the village take to address the slow pace? Residents repeatedly questioned the slow, sloppy pace of construction. Failure to monitor the development of the site falls to the village and the board. The goal of the project has not been successfully achieved. The site we have today is not as promised. A clean, remediated site with a completed five-story building, later revised down to four stories, with commercial spaces and shops, including a coffee shop. Was the site adequately remediated? The village website states, June 2021, the IEPA issued a no further remediations letter. This document cannot be found. No IEPA NFR can be found for the River Forest Cleaners at 7613 to 7615 Lake. Only two NFRs were published, one for 423 Ashland and one for the underground gasoline tank at 7601 Lake, dated 9/29 of 22. For a final NFR, the proper barriers and post-construction rooftop venting were to be required. So, no condos, no shops, and only partially remediated site. What were the actual costs for remediation? The village website states Lake Lathrop Partners paid $3 million to demo and remediate by June of 2021. But $3 to $4 million has also been stated for cleanup. In 2019, during board discussions, if the board were to claw back the property, demo was estimated at $250,000 and the remediation cleanup was $1.3 million. The developer had a bridge loan of $2.1 million to clean up with Old Second Bank. What subcontractors did the actual remediation? How does cleanup now become $3 million or more? And why are we learning of this September 15th after the permit expiration? After September 15th. This info likely would be available to prospective developers and should be available to residents. The village also spent funds to relocate existing businesses for repeated cleanup on legal fees, utilities, staff time, code violations, fines. How much was spent? How much was reimbursed to the village? Foregone property taxes until the property returns to tax rolls total at least $2 million in foregone added to the cost to develop. The newsletter states Wintrust and its receiver, Ascend Real Estate, the receiver, are responsible for maintenance and marketing of the site. Which is responsible for what roles and functions, and what's the timetable? Residents want monthly substantive updates on the status of this site. Taxpayers didn't invest in the site we have today. We want a quality development that fits with our community standards, not a quick fix to a 13-year development plan. Thank you.
Good evening. I have two areas I want to address. First, later on the agenda, you'll be appointing new members to the Sustainability Commission, and I want to take this opportunity to thank Kathy and the board for the opportunity I've had to serve for almost 6 years, and particularly under the original leadership of Katie Brennan, Julie Muller, and Sue Crothers, who are not here, and then Lisa Gillis as successor and our tireless current chair, Eric Simon. And also, I'd really like to give a shout out to the Village staff, Seth Jansen, who's doing such a great job now, and his predecessor, Sarah. It's just really been an honor and a privilege to serve, and I just thought it was time for fresh blood, but it's really exciting to see how the commission has grown from a volunteer group to one with the full support of the president, the board, and the staff. So thank you. The other item I wanted to address was the proposed zoning changes, and I just want to say that I appreciate that the village is looking at a comprehensive approach to the zoning and trying to look at a way to enhance the clarity and ease of use of the code. I think that makes a lot of sense. That said, I'm sure you appreciate a comprehensive permanent change on this scale deserves thoughtful discussion and time for consideration. I know the Economic Development Commission has talked at length about this, but these particular changes have only come in front of the public and the board as of Friday at 6:30. So I just have a few observations and a few asks for you to consider. So the three observations I have are that I appreciate that some small adjustments maybe were made in response to some resident concerns, particularly things like saying unit size will be to be further discussed. On the whole, though, the recommendations are largely the same in terms of increasing height, increasing density, and there isn't really an analysis or a written analysis of the impact of these proposed changes on neighborhood and village services. I understand there are more steps that would happen later, but I still think the question is, if we don't consider that question now, then when? Once the zoning changes are approved, even if it goes to planned development, it generally becomes harder to raise issues if we've agreed to allow it. And we may have just set a new floor for inevitable variance requests. So that's just one observation. The second observation is there are new proposals about applying these changes to C3 and something called the Auric District, which I didn't know about before. So that's something new. And there also seems to be some new proposals relating to something called off-street loading, which I also am not really educated or an expert on. But this leads to essentially my, I think, four asks. One is, because there is some new information, I just suggest the board take like another month to review these and ask all of your thoughtful questions. My second ask is that if you do pass it on tonight, that you direct Halseal and Levine and the Zoning Board to consider not only what will maximize economic potential development, but also at this time to take into account impact on neighborhood and village services. I think that the memo says that all the recommendations so far have been based on the direction that Halseal and Levine from the Economic Development Commission, and understandably, their direction was to focus on how to maximize economic development. But your role now as the board is to, you know, look more broadly at the potential impact on the village. And then my third and fourth asks, I guess, is one is maybe a little bit more explanation and education for residents about the rationale for the changes in C3 and Auric. And then the fourth is really maybe a little more explanation of the connection between the proposed new draft code and the existing code. It's a little hard to kind of interpret what's going on in terms of changes. And while the new one looks, you know, very nice and coherent, it's hard as a resident to understand what may be being changed or lost from the existing code. So I would suggest that you review other aspects of the code as well in conjunction with loosening the zoning requirements, that you look at the variance process and what might, you know, happen with that if somebody wants to ask for variance to these specific changes, since we were told at economic development that the idea was to say, this is what we agreed to, but we know people are always going to ask for variance. So you might consider something stricter for this and maybe the development review board process. I don't know. But those are my asks. And, you know, I'll just say that I think, you know, we're always learning from recent experiences. And I think we all want to find a way to bring more development to the village. And we certainly want to find a way to fill that empty lot on Madison and in a way where You know, there's a sense of kind of mutual accomplishment among the board, the residents, and the developers, and that we kind of avoid unintended consequences. So I want to thank you for your service, because I know it's a, you know, you have a many knotty issues in front of you. So thank you for your time.
Yeah. Thank you, Beth. And on the zoning, yeah, we'll be addressing a lot of these concerns. So if you stay tonight, hopefully we can address some of those questions. Okay. And then the other one that's kind of, I'll just put it in the other bucket, is Mark and Maura Zinni with the tree. So.
I'm back. Mark and I are back. I'm Maura Zinni. Mark, my husband, is here. We're at 929 Keystone. Last month, we brought up a concern about two trees in our parkway. One that seems like it grew from a stray acorn, possibly wasn't probably part of the village's plan, grew very close to the driveway curb, creating a very unsafe situation. So we're back here tonight to address one thing that came up. I believe it was Trustee Gillis talked about the canopy, and then a couple other follow-up questions or comments we have. The pictures you're seeing there, Trustee Gillis was, I appreciate everyone's attention to this last month and the little bit of discussion that went on. There, it was brought up about the canopy or having some effect on the canopy. So what you're looking at there, the two top pictures are the pictures of these two trees that are in question here. And if you're familiar with what a canopy does, is a tree grows and it spreads its leaves and its branches and creates this beautiful canopy that then shades the ground. And when trees are planted appropriately spaced, appropriate spacing, these canopies sort of come together, one next to the other. You can see here, these two, it's a redundant canopy, essentially. These two trees are growing together. I wish I would have been able to take this picture 2 weeks earlier when all the leaves were on, where you'd see it's really essentially one canopy. The picture below is our tree that we're not concerned about, and the tree just to the north of us on our neighbor's property, that's a picture of a perfect canopy, essentially. So that tree is grown and is developing its canopy, and then it just blends right into the next tree's canopy. So I just wanted to address that, because I certainly understand our concern about trees in our village. We completely appreciate them too. A couple other things. I do know that there was discussion that Bob Davis, the village was going to meet with Bob Davis, and I believe that happened. So maybe Matt could speak to that. Bob did speak with us as well after that meeting, and he did indicate that the tree is healthy. And we indicated that as well last month, and we said it is a healthy tree. However, there's what we believe much greater concerns with this tree, the safety, the unsafe situation that it's, that the blind spot that it's created as a result of it being right at the corner of the driveway and the curb. And then, of course, the damage that it's doing not only to our property, the apron, but the village's sewer lines. Mark was able to give Matt the video of the sewer line damage that's happening, so I'm not sure if that's been shared with the board yet or not. And so we're just curious where we're at with this. The house is under construction right now, and we'd certainly like to be able to have some closure on this to move forward. And again, safety is our concern here. With these construction trucks that are there right now, it's even kind of created a much more concerning, unsafe situation when there's large vehicles in that driveway.
Right. So, so I know, Maura, this is your second or third time here. So unless the board has an objection, I think we'll just let Matt, I mean, you can either do it tonight or you can do it tomorrow morning and send a letter, but give Matt the authority to, you know, work this out, because I know you've talked to Bob Davies and others. So, I mean, unless others want to have an opinion on this, I think Matt's done his homework, I think, on this. So
I apologize for not getting back sooner on this Zinni family. I know Bob Davis did relay that he agreed with our arborist Brian Skozik's assessment of the tree. I think the health of the tree was his main aspect. We did have Thomas Engineering, our traffic consultant, look at the sightline issue. They did a little exhibit, and they found that there was there is a blockage, but it's a minimal impact because the impact is really on the southbound traffic. This is homes on the east side of the street, so the impact is not significant enough for Thomas to believe that it was a concern. It is close to the curb. It does block sight line, but it's not a necessarily a safety concern in the eyes of the traffic consultant. And then also, we did review the video. Our interim public works director did review the video. There is an impact on the sewer line, but it's not atypical in the village to have roots in, kind of invading sewer space. There's tree rotting. It's what the village does to kind of take care of the little roots. There's nothing structurally that's going to impact the sewer. So it was not of a concern to our public works department. So our position remains the same, that we don't believe the tree should be removed, but if the board wants any other information or direction, we're happy to go that route.
I mean, unless somebody wants to speak differently, I mean, I think staff, you would have the best look at this from all points.
So just to confirm my understanding, sure. There is damage to the sewer lines, but it's consistent with damage to the sewer lines. It's all over the village from trees and
correct. The root impact is they're pretty premature roots. They're not correct.
Okay. And then we consistently as a village repair or rot out, I think is what you might have said.
Correct.
Rot
yes.
out that damage.
Yes. Every few years with the public works
so
will
this would
do that.
Be a part of our normal maintenance.
Correct.
Okay. And also, did I hear you say that the position of this tree is not unusual in the village, or did I make that up?
It is close to the curb. I think it's closer than most trees in the village. There are similar examples throughout the village, but this admittedly is a lot closer to the curb than we typically would plant if we were looking at it, if we were planting a tree today.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other comments? So I guess what we'll do is, Matt, why don't you write that up? I mean, that's what it should have done. So we apologize that we didn't get back to you on it. And that will be staff's final decision. Unless
I love to add any more comments.
Sure. I mean, sure, Mark. Of course. Come on up.
Thank you. So I'm Mark Zinni, the other owner. Just to kind of continue on some of those comments, to the best of my knowledge, the village does not rot out private lines running from the house to the main sewer. The video I showed you was damaged to the private line. You only rot out the
sewer. That is correct.
So to answer the trustee's question, you do not clean that out. It's
no, not private lines. That's correct.
Responsibility. Thank you. The other thing is damage to the apron. This tree, there's a concrete apron and we're already seeing additional cracking. And to the best of my knowledge, that is the resident's responsibility to repair that damage caused by the village tree, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So there's two areas of damage. But my real concern, and I know it's an opinion of one person, is just safety. And I don't know, we talked about canopy and stuff. We talked about material damage. My concern is just life safety. And that's what I really think should be trumping all these conversations. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, the tree is definitely close to the apron and it does crack the apron. And as you said, it's unusual.
Actually, I don't think it's that unusual, unfortunately. And so I think that while I think we all hear you, it sets a precedent that I don't think we can set for the village. If you want to remove that tree per the process that's in place for you to do so, I think you can do so.
I think it is unusual, and I was told it's only about 10 other people in the village.
You should speak into the microphone so that Bob and others who want to hear the audio can hear you.
And Matt, can you confirm that? Because that's what Bob Davies told me, that there might only be 10 other instances that they were aware of similar setups. So
I don't have that number. We didn't talk about that.
Okay.
Specifically.
So, you know, even though it does occur, it's very atypical, extremely atypical, out of the thousands of trees I think we have in the village, to the best of my knowledge. Thanks.
All right. So I will write up that letter. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay. Special use. Laura, I forgot. You've got four speakers on special use. So you all want to speak?
Okay, great.
Good evening. Thank you for your time. So since 2007, we have been operating a...
Could you state your name? Do you mind?
I'm sorry. My name is Rainier Ramos. Since 2007, we have been operating an AMI-recognized Montessori preschool that's located right now in the Methodist Church, United Methodist Church on Lake Street. And over the years, the demand for enrollment spots have continued growing. However, the space that we have at the church remains limited. So for several years now, we've been trying to look for a space around the village where we can create more classrooms so we can service more families in this age group. We have recently found a commercial space that's been on that's been vacant for several years now. And we requested a meeting with Administrator Matt Walsh last week, I believe. And it was determined in that meeting that this commercial space is currently not zoned for a preschool or a child care center. So we are here tonight to request the board to allow us to apply for a special use for this commercial space with the intention of hopefully creating more classrooms to be able to service more families in the village. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Diana, did you want to speak? Okay.
I'm Maria. I'm the director, and this is our intention is to add classroom for younger children, younger than two, because it's what we're having a lot of applications for that age group. So we were intending to put three more classrooms if we will be able to do that. It's just we're asking it now because we have to work with DCFS and we have to make sure that it's in compliance with our AMI standards and the standards for the DCFS. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Understood. Okay.
Hello, my name is Ariel Pang, and I am the realtor for the property that Montessori has sourced. I wanted to say that the owner of the property is in full support of Montessori being there as a tenant. The property itself has 4,000 square feet of office spaces that have been vacant since 2020. We've had a lot of trouble trying to re-rent them due to COVID and people not looking at office spaces. Montessori came to us and thought that it was a perfect property. It is all on the first floor, which children can't go on the second floor. And it also has a sprinkler system, and the square footage allows them to do whatever they'd like with the space. I did have the privilege to look at where they're currently occupied at the church. They have to remove a lot of their like tables and items so that the church can do their weekend events, which is probably really stressful for them. And they do look like they are outgrowing their space. I don't think that they plan on moving absolutely to this new space. They'd like to divide and expand. It's perfect also because it's only a block away from where they currently are, and then they would be able to have separation with their age groups. So with the full support of the owners, I'd like for you to consider it so that we can possibly apply. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ariel. Laura?
Hi, My name is Laura Maycruck. I am a resident. I am a past parent who had my kids go to Mosaic Montessori. And I'm also the realtor representing the Montessori school as they search for a space in the village. Not only is this request for special use important to them, but it's actually important to the village because currently the way that commercial space is zoned, there is no space for any daycare center in any commercial space, period. It is not an allowed use in any commercial space. So with an announcement from the Dominican that they're going to be closing their preschool in addition to this preschool overflowing with applications, I think that the village should think hard about what the village residents want and need in these spaces. You have the opportunity in this board meeting today to also discuss the commercial zoning generally, and I think that possibly taking a harder look at what you currently allow in your commercial zones overall, not just in this specific, but to think about what types of businesses want to come into River Forest. I know that as residents, we like to think that we want restaurants and bakeries and retail shops, but that's the reality of what River Forest attracts isn't that. I was a restaurant owner, and moving to River Forest, and I'm a resident of River Forest. If I could, I would, but it just doesn't make economic sense for businesses like that to be in the village. So I think services are something that the village attracts, and services to our residents, particularly our young families. I happen to sell houses to young families in River Forest. They are looking for childcare, and there's plenty of evidence to say that that's true. So considering not only the special use, or if you decide to go the special use, fine, but maybe consider a broader decision about commercial spaces across the village to allow this type of business without having to go through a special use request.
Yeah.
I think that's all I need to say.
Okay. So you're correct. We're going to be talking a little bit about the zoning issues, some zoning changes. One of the things that we need to think about when we talk about, you know, daycare in our commercial is exactly what you just said. What does it take up, you know, versus what we could have? And not that we can't have both, by the way. I think you're wonderful and I think you're bright, but I hope you're wrong about the coffee shop. I hope we can attract some folks to our town. But saying all of that, the way it works, our process is if the board decides that, you know, it makes some sense to at least have zoning go through the discussion and come back with recommendation, then we can direct Matt and they can apply for that kind of change. There might be another, you know, something we might want to consider since we have an Economic Development Commission, to let them go to the Economic Development Commission and kind of look at it as a whole, because we just don't want to change just this area. You know, it would affect our whole commercial space, both North Avenue and Harlem and Madison Street. So I think we have to look at it at a broader, you know, from a broader view. So my recommendation, unless any of you guys think differently, is I think go to the Economic Commission and they meet soon. I mean, the first week in December, let them opine on it, which I think they're that's what they do for a living. And then we'll get their direction. And then from there, we'll probably direct the zoning board to look at it from a change special use, change if they decide to do that.
Hey Matt, is there any reason why they couldn't run a parallel path on this?
I could.
No, they could. Back in 2019, when the code was amended to allow child daycare centers in the PRI district, where that was when Mosaic applied back in 2019, it was a parallel process. So the special use application and the text amendment could be considered on a parallel timeline.
Did they go to the Economic Commission as well? I don't think so.
They did not go through the Economic
Commission. Is that what you're referring to, Bob?
That I know of.
Well, what I'm referring to is we don't want to let time kill the deal. So, you know, again, if they, because they have DCFS and other things to go through, you know, I'd like to see what their timeline of, you know, when they'd like to start and, you know, when they'd like to be in the space and the steps they need to go through. And I think if they're on a parallel path through EDC and then back to us, then I think, you know, we may land in a good place for them. So.
Right. Right. No, don't disagree with that. But it's a broader discussion too with,
you know, understand.
So how do you see that, Matt?
Well, the, I guess there's two different options. One is just the board can just simply direct consideration of a text amendment to the most simple way is just to have the C3 district either be a permitted use for child daycare centers or a special use, which is how it is currently in our PRI district. Otherwise, the board could ask the Economic Development Commission to consider this use,
right,
and make a recommendation as to whether to have their input for the zoning board. We could run those processes parallel to have the December public hearing for the zoning board could consider that language, and the December Economic Development Commission could provide input so that it doesn't delay the process, to Trustee O'Connell's point. And that way there is some input for the zoning board that does remove the village board's consideration of it, at least on the front end. There's always, obviously, the decision's always up to the village board at the end, but there's a couple different options.
The other thing that I'm keeping in mind, and at least one of the speakers mentioned this, is that we around the table got several letters this week from people who are involved in the child care center at the Priory that they just got notice is going to be closing in 6 months. So that's going to be another set of preschoolers in the village who need a place to be. And I think it makes it, to me, even more time sensitive and for a larger number of families.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, that does push the timetable a little bit more. But I think, it's a discussion I think we'd want the zoning board and the commission to really look at, because it will affect our commercial.
And I'm not suggesting anything other than what you just said, Katie, but it's just if the applicant can move on a parallel path while we go through our normal processes, it may help at the end.
Okay. All right.
One other question. I don't know what's going on North Avenue, Montessori up there. Mm-hmm. The last I heard about that was a newspaper article that they had won the court decision, and we haven't even talked about that here. Is that still an ongoing concern in the village?
Oh, they're operating as they said they were going to operate. They're a school. They're operating as a Montessori school. I mean, I think
Katie, that was really decision resolved before Greg left.
Huh?
That was resolved before Greg left, I think.
I didn't hear him.
I didn't hear you either.
Bob. I didn't hear you, Bob.
I think that was resolved before Greg left.
No, it was all resolved. The resolution, Katie, was whether they pay taxes or not.
Yeah.
So that was resolved by the courts and by the Department of Revenue. That didn't affect their ability to do business. So they continue to do business at North and William. You talk with them, they have a robust child care, early childhood education. So, which I think they coexist with you two as well. I mean, it's similar, I'm going to guess, similar, if not identical. So, so let's then try a parallel path, if that works for you guys, and try to get some decisions for you.
Okay, just so we can proceed with an application then for a special use.
Yeah, and then what he's going to, we'll lay out the process for you, but it sounds like we'll have.
I'll give the specific dates.
I mean, you sent me the application process, which says that we go before the zoning board.
And you'll go simultaneously in front of the Economic Development.
Okay, and that's in December, and we'll do that in December, and we'll see you later.
Yep, awesome.
And then eventually it's going to come to this board.
Yep. Correct.
The next village board would need to approve the text.
Both things.
Okay, I appreciate it. I'm just generally concerned that we have a commercial property row that we just issued a TIF on, and I don't I'm not saying no, but I'd like to see what the plan is before we start putting in non-commercial sections of property on this commercial strip, because it's been very difficult trying to find commercial entities to come in this strip. So I just don't want to start splitting up the property without, that may cause some issues for us on the commercial.
I think that's why I think the Economic Development Commission.
Okay.
You know, we typically like to bring things to our commission. So this is an ideal one to bring.
Okay.
Because it will affect our long-term decision-making for commercial.
Okay.
So although I appreciate hurry up and get it done, because I love getting things done, I just want to make sure that there's no
There is a time. I mean, the time constraint is real also.
Oh, yeah.
With, demand, but also there will be a certain amount of time that they would need to renovate the building if they're given the go ahead, and the building would need a significant amount of renovation.
Oh.
So they're shooting for a September opening of the new classrooms. So time is definitely of the essence. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Laura, are they looking to purchase the property or rent it?
Leasing. It would be about, the building is, I believe, 8,000 square feet. 4,000 of it is available for lease, and they are looking at leasing.
Okay, so the current owner would continue to pay property tax.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah. The question at hand is, if you allow daycare centers, which is, they're great. Right.
It has nothing to do with the taxes. It wouldn't affect the village in any way tax-wise.
Well, the sales tax would.
Currently is vacant.
Right.
It
has
been vacant. So.
Agreed. And that's the decisions that I think the conversations that the commission has to have. I mean, to your point, in today's environment, interest rates environment, I mean, there's not that many retail that's popping up, but that doesn't mean it's not going to recover, in the future. So, the question is over time, how many daycare centers do you want in your commercial zoning? Because we'd had this very conversations, and that's why we put it into the PRI, because it was already kind of non-sales tax. So anyway, we'll take a look at it. I mean, of course, we'll take a good hard look at it, and we'll go through our process and make the right decision.
All right. I appreciate it.
I just have one question.
Yeah.
Is there any discussion with the Dominican school going on between you two or no?
No. I heard the news, but it seems to, tie together, which is why I mention it, only that they're getting a lot of calls for daycare, maybe because the news was out kind of before the actual announcement was made that this was going to be closing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm only guessing, but yeah. Oh, before that. Okay. Yeah. Lots of demand for early childhood care in River Forest. Bottom line.
Good. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Are they mostly River Forest residents or?
Yes.
Okay.
We can turn down a lot because we don't have younger.
Okay. Sure. Understood. All right. Very good. Thank you for coming in. And Matt will follow up with you or Laura and lay out the process. Okay. So that concludes the Mindy. I've got you on there, but it will be I assume you want to talk when we get to the amended ordinance for trees. Is that correct? Can't promise if you want to come up now, or it's up to you. Okay. And remind me, because I probably will forget. Okay. So we'll move on to the elected official comments and announcements. So we'll start with, I'll do this after everybody's. Lisa, maybe we'll start with you.
Okay. I'll be quick. I guess I will wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. It is quickly approaching, a week from Thursday. So be safe, enjoy your family. Second is, I want to encourage all, residents to participate in the 25th anniversary of the Oak Park River Forest Infant Welfare Holiday House Walk and Market. The Infant Welfare Society owns a clinic that provides medical, dental, and behavioral health services to children from birth to 18 years of age. They are at 28 Madison Street in Oak Park. These services are open to all those who cannot afford to pay for such services, and that includes migrants that are now coming to our community and surrounding areas. So December 1st and 2nd, 2023, please support if you can. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and hopefully have a safe one too. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. John?
Nothing new to add. Thanks.
Katie? Thanks. I wanted to thank Beth Chang for her comments and for her 6 years of service. It's a lot of time and you have a lot of skill, and I've appreciated working with you and all your thoughtfulness and all of your contributions. So thanks for that. On the Lake and Lathrop comments, it's interesting. I drive by that site, and when I do, it confounds me that it's that mess there on it, and that I don't have to like look at it all the time, like some of the neighbors do. So I agree with the request that even though it's not an active construction site right now, I think the village does owe our residents and particularly the neighbors who live right there an update at our meeting, you know, maybe a monthly update at our meetings, and to make sure that we do keep that page on our website updated with meaningful information.
Yeah, we try to update it, right, Matt? I mean, yeah, so.
Yeah, yes, we
address trustee Bennett.
Sure. So we will we will make a point to add that. I know we've included some things in our newsletter, but we'll make sure that's reflected on our village website on a monthly basis too.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's good. And then the last thing I'll say is that I did attend the TRHT luncheon at Dominican University this past month, and I'm happy to report that DU continues to be a hub of activities and innovative programs and coalition building for all sorts of racial justice and TRHT activities. And I need to do a better job of getting their activities and speakers onto our village website, or maybe cutting myself out as the middle person and have them contact someone. Is that you, Jessica? Okay, then I'm gonna make sure I do a better job at that. Thank you.
Thanks, Katie.
I don't have much to say. Just want to also wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. It seems like every meeting there's going to be a holiday moving forward. So, but also please be aware of the leaf pickup policies, as well as if you're parking on the day of the leaf pickup policy, we're down to that final month. So we want to make sure that we can pick up as much as possible.
Yeah, that's a great point. We probably should make sure we get that front and center on the newsletter too. Okay, good. Thank you. That's a great point. Thanks, Ken. Okay. Bob.
So just a quick tag on to what Ken just said. Apparently there was a car with a catalytic converter in Oak Park on Monday that caught on fire on top of a leaf pile. So be careful where you're parking when the leaf piles are out there. So again, I don't have anything else except happy Thanksgiving to all of our residents, and travel safe. The airports are starting to fill up already. I can attest to that.
Good stuff. Thanks, Bob. Okay, I don't have much to report either, but I do want to say to Beth Chang, thank you so much for your, all your energy in the Sustainability Commission, and yeah, your staying power for the last 6 years. Yeah, you were one of the originals, I know, with Katie and others. So it was great. I mean, I think we, through your leadership and your help and your commitment, I mean, we really on the map for sustainability initiative. So thank you for that. And sorry to see you go, but I completely understand why it's time. Okay. So that's all I have to report. Of course, happy Thanksgiving to our whole community and the communities that surround us. So we'll go ahead and move on to a recognition of Donna Petrulis. Right, Donna, why don't you come up here? Come on, Donna. I know you want to stay in the behind the scenes, but we're gonna let Jim do this.
I'd like to do it, but I
think it'd be more meaningful.
This would be great. Thank you. So tonight we're here to celebrate the a long-term most senior employee of the village staff here, Donna Petrulis. And there's been a proclamation prepared and signed by the village president, Catherine Naduce, and I'd like to read the proclamation at this time. Whereas Donna's commitment to public service began with the Village of River Forest in 1990 when she joined the village staff as a records clerk. And whereas Donna continued to expand her knowledge and skills and served the community as a dispatcher for the Village of River Forest Emergency Communication Center. And whereas Donna was promoted to the position of record supervisor for the River Forest Police Department in 2010. And whereas Donna's Petrulis has displayed exceptional professionalism or professional ability in each role she has held during her tenure with the village and has made significant contributions to the Village of River Forest. And whereas Donna's many contributions include the skillful management of the River Forest Police Department's Record Division, her leadership and dedication to continuously improving and modernizing methods of record keeping, and service as the primary resource for computerized records systems within the department. And whereas Donna was the official custodian of documents and records for the River Forest Police Department in accordance with the laws, regulation, and rules of the Illinois Attorney General, the Illinois Secretary of State, and oversaw communications with the Cook County Circuit Court Clerk, the Illinois State Police, Federal Bureau of Investigations, and other criminal justice partners. And whereas Donna assisted the public by answering a variety of inquiries concerning the River Forest Police Department and the Village of River Forest regarding ordinances, policies, and procedures. And whereas Donna is a highly regarded member of the village's management team, whose leadership, professionalism, dedication, and positive attitude are a credit to her profession. And whereas Donna Petrulis is one of the most valued members of the River Forest Police Department and the Village of River Forest. Now, therefore, I, Kathy Adusi, Village President of the Village of River Forest, do hereby thank Donna Petrulis for her achievements, dedication, and exemplary service to the Village of River Forest, which culminate a distinguished 33-year career, and we offer our sincere gratitude and best wishes for her future success and well-deserved retirement. And of course, at the end of every proclamation, let's get the legalese out, Lance. In witness thereof, I have hereto set my hand officially and caused to be affixed the seal of the Village of River Forest on this 13th day, November 23rd. Village President Kathy Adusi.
Thanks, Donna.
And an emotional roller coaster, not only for Donna, but for all of us who every day, and I'm just behind Donna as far as seniority, and I've seen Donna every day since I've been here.
I know.
And it's going to be difficult, I know, not only for me, but the rest of the staff to walk in. And the first question I always ask Donna is, how are we doing today? How are things looking? And it's really how the rest of my day is going to go is how she answers that question. She'll be greatly missed. And we wish her a great retirement and a great future.
Yeah. Yeah. Great job. Can't convince her 5 more years or something like that. Well, thank you, Donna, on behalf of the board and the trustees and the clerk. And we appreciate all your work all the years. I mean, it says something about you and I think hopefully the village with the amount of time that you've given the village. So we really appreciate it. And we'll miss you because that is the first person you look at right when I come in. It's you. So, again, thank you. And you've got a home here. So anything you need, you just come back to us. All right. Thank you. All right. Now. All right. So we'll move on to our consent agenda, which is item number 5. We've got items A through M, I think, here. Or L?
A through L?
Well, we got
A through L.
M.
Oh.
Maybe we're supposed to have more.
It's L.
It's L.
It's L. Okay. or is it hell? All right. So A through L. If I can get a motion to approve those items, I appreciate it.
Motion to approve the consent agenda items A through L.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. If I can ask the clerk to read out loud.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, October 23rd, 2023. B, Village Board of Trustee executive session meeting minutes, October 23rd, 2023. C, administration department report. D, monthly department reports. E, October financial report. F, accounts payable, October 2023, $1,854,072.04. G, self-contained breathing apparatus replacement program purchase, Air One equipment, $26,000. H, automated license plate reader systems, Minuteman Technologies, $32,432. I, authorization to donate bicycles and police custody ordinance. J, accessible parking space request, 7607 Vine Street ordinance. K, right-of-way encroachment agreement, 935 Franklin Avenue. L, change order, 2022 Green Alley Improvements, Professional Engineering Services, $12,130.96 resolution. Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Thanks. So we'll move on to item number 7A, which is boards, commissions, and committee appointments. Please to hopefully I'll move for a motion here in a second to add two new members to the Sustainability Commission.
I motion to consent to the village president's appointment of Louise Mizas Testa and Jamie Haley to the Sustainability Commission.
Second.
Great. Any comments or questions regarding these two ladies? I know Louise has been right as a resident volunteer, so she's kind of been serving on the commission. Thank you very much. And I had a good text and voice conversations with Jamie. She's real excited to be part of the commission. So these two seem real natural fits. So any questions regarding those two? If not, we'll go ahead and take the vote.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay. So the other committee meeting was with the Economic Development Commission, and this is a motion to amend our zoning board. If we can move in second, and then we'll have discussion.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to direct the village administrator to propose text amendments related to commercial zoning districts to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a public hearing and recommendation.
Second.
Okay, great. All right, so I'll let Matt kind of give you the lowdown on this and the history of it.
Sure. So last year, the village started working with Hauziel Levine to take a look at our commercial zoning district, specifically the C1 and C2 districts that are for North Avenue and Madison Street, respectively, with the intent of attracting additional economic development in the future. The village wanted to take a look to see if there was anything that we could do to kind of loosen the restrictions or make it a little bit more appealing to the developers as the market stands today. It's a challenge, as been said earlier tonight, to develop, and it's healthy. This was one of the prescriptions from the comprehensive plan to take a look at our commercial zoning districts. So Hauziel Levine attended several meetings with the Economic Development Commission. We also had a resident stakeholder meeting to get some feedback. We had some conceptual renderings of what could go there, what certain changes would mean as it relates to height and density and parking restrictions. And the Economic Development Commission ended up recommending that the board direct the Zoning Board of Appeals to consider a text amendment. This process, in order to make a text amendment, the village board through staff is to petition the Zoning Board of Appeals to make a change. It's similar to what we did last year with SoulSmart. The Sustainability Commission recommended that the Village Board consider looking at zoning codes as it relates to solar panels, and the Zoning Board of Appeals looked at code language, made a recommendation to the Village Board, and the Village Board ended up adopting by ordinance to change those rules. So this motion before you all tonight is for staff to prepare draft language, which is included in this in the packet to the Zoning Board of Appeals. There will be a public hearing process. So we'll have to do a 15-day notice. The Zoning Board of Appeals will consider all of these changes. They may make changes to it and eventually make a recommendation to the Village Board whether to adopt those changes. The main proposals that are in this draft here are as it relates to building height and density and parking. They all kind of go hand in hand as it relates to zoning. One thing I do want to point out is that there's no proposed changes to the special use process or the plan development process. So if a developer wants to come in and build anything that has multifamily housing or is anything 20,000 square feet or larger, it requires a plan development process, which means it has to go through our development review board, which is a robust process that allows for public input and public feedback through multiple meetings that get noticed to the neighbors. And that is not going to be changed, so that the village still has that right to review and scrutinize proposals as they come forward. The intent here with these changes is to make it more appealing for developers to come forward when they see that there's only a 30-foot height maximum on our C2 district, which is Madison Street. A lot of developers would be like, there's no way that we would be able to have a viable development there with 30 feet height. That's really only two floors as with kind of modern design. So that was one of the main things to look at, because we want appealing development, the Village Board, whether it's Madison Street or other projects that might come forward at other sites that are village owned or not, we want to have an option because we want to attract the best development, not just rely on low quality development that might come in and do something that is not the highest and best use of that site.
I just had a quick question. Sure. I know we talked about, someone mentioned earlier about knowing about the changes for transparency's sake, and you mentioned that the public comments are not inclusive of this, but how do we get the word out of these amendments to the village residents?
Sure. So in advance of the public hearing, we could promote in our village newsletter. You are right. Typically, when there's a variation or a plan development, there's public notice that's sent out to 500 feet. That's not the case with text amendments because we have to send out a notice to the entire village. So we can promote with our village newsletter and on our social media and website about the public hearing.
One other question I had, just so when they went through the commission, there was how many meetings, and that was all public meetings, right? So how many meetings did the commission have? I know at least two, right? Two to three to talk about this, Ken.
Yeah, I think it was probably closer to four or five over the length of it. But the final two meetings were when we're really looking at the proposed language and kind of getting ready to make a recommendation to the village board.
Yeah. And if you've got any other further ideas that we can expand, to make sure we get people at those meetings, of course we'll do anything to just expand it.
Even for just the knowledge of it all. Yeah. So knowing that, hey, this is a new regulation.
So to Ken's point, not, this might be what you were getting at, or it might be a little bit different. One of the speakers mentioned that there were two parts of this that were new to her. Does that mean that they weren't discussed at a resident stakeholder meeting, or weren't discussed at the EDC meeting?
Sure, I can speak to that. Thank you, Trustee Brennan. The Economic Development Commission was tasked with only looking at our C1 and C2 districts. That's North Avenue and Madison Street, the village's current TIF districts. After the recommendation was made by the EDC, staff and How's Your Living recognized that. So it's an opportunity to look at our C3 districts and our ORIC districts, which is Office, Research, Industrial, Commercial district. That's the town center, just for reference. Basically, Lathrop to Harlem, between the tracks and Lake Street. Because the zoning code as it currently stands, if you look at a commercial district regulations, it references, if you looked at a C3 district, it'll reference to the C1 district. It's kind of a interwoven language, how it's created. So it's difficult to change one without changing all four of the commercial districts. So what was prepared here by Housia Levine includes all four of the commercial districts, including the ORIC and the C3 district. So that has not been directly discussed by the EDC. They did ask that the village look at that, and they're on board with it because it makes sense to do it all at once, because the public hearing process can be intensive, and the regulations between a C2 district, which is along Madison Street, and a C3 district, which is across the street between Lathrop and Park Avenue, basically in the Strand building question that came up. There's a lot of similar regulations. So we felt that it made sense to take a look at all four districts at once.
I think the nice thing about this is, first of all, we're looking at it, and I think, Matt, you put it correctly, is, you know, at least we'll get some developers interested. And then again, on the backside of it, we also have, because of the special use process, you know, we have the final say in this. So, you know, I think where we can generate some interest to make it more palatable for developers. And again, as interest rates go up and building costs go up and all those things go up, you know, at least to get people involved and understand, so we can at least start talking to them and engage them. I think that's what makes these changes very palatable and will hopefully get us some interest from some development.
Agreed.
So to that point, Bob, it seems that to date, without having these revisions, what's happened, correct me if I'm wrong, is that developers come to us and they say, we want to do this development, but we want to, you know, we want to bump it up here and here, and your zoning doesn't allow that. And then they ask for a variance, and they typically get a variance. So how can you, can someone explain how this changes that? I know it automatically essentially gives the variance without them having to ask, but right, then they might come and ask for more variance.
True. And that's where we can kind of exercise that special use authority, Katie. You're absolutely right. So if they can pencil it out at a certain number, you know, then maybe they don't need to ask for a variance. But more times than not, I agree with you that they will. But again, we're making the change now that we think is best for the community. And I think it gives us the opportunity to say, no, you know, we've made the change, we've increased sizes and done other things. And, you know, this is kind of what we want to live with.
Do you think that developers are not coming to River Forest because of our zoning?
Yes.
Even though we have a reputation of giving the variances?
Yeah. Yes. Because we've had firsthand experience talking to people on various parcels of property over the years in River Forest, and they just can't get it to pencil, even with some, you know, some FAR requirements.
Just a minute. To that point, I think developers, they want to kind of minimize risk going through the public hearing process. So when they see that the height maximum is 30 feet, but they actually need 60 feet, for example, that's double. And that's a tough sell for a board making that decision. The public can be like, well, what's the point of having a zoning code that has 30 feet if you're just going to blow past it? The other concern is kind of consistency along the corridors. Kind of want to have consistency across different proposals. So if there's the allowances, you know, 5 feet for a decorative parapet or something like that, it's more palatable for or maybe more palatable for the village board. It's an easier connection between what the board sees through the zoning code and what a developer would propose.
Yeah, what you just said, actually, one thing you just said convinces me a bit, and that is, you know, if a developer doesn't, if they have to go through all of these processes and they don't know if they're going to get it, they may not choose to invest their time and their money in the project with an uncertain
That's correct.
Outcome.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's always going to be risk until they have four votes to approve a given project. But if, you know, as staff, I'm talking them through the process and be like, well, the code's 30 feet, but they've approved it over here at 70 feet, 60 feet, whatever it might be. Hopefully they would take a word for it, but it's still kind of speculating on what the board will do. If there's a code that the board or in future boards can point to that this is what we were envisioning, it's a little more comforting, I guess, to prospective builders. Yep.
What I'm noodling over in my mind is whether it makes sense to send this back to the EDC to look at the ORIC and C3 and also consider the, if I have those right, and then also to consider the what we talked about earlier in public comment with the childcare zoning and have them look at all of that in a global way rather just to tick off the C3 and ORIC and look at the childcare zoning at the same time.
We can do that, but I would propose that we make a decision on this tonight because, as Matt said, everything's interconnected. I mean, C1, C2, C3s are all interconnected in our zoning code. It's not unusual that it's unusual the way it is right now. So
if the board remembers, we're already going forward on a parallel track with the daycare. So to simply add this, the C3 and the ORIC to the Economic Development Commission, and then they'll all
approve this tonight.
No, you would be
right,
because just as you already directed staff to begin the process to send to the zoning board for the text amendment for the daycare, could send it there, and at the same time have the Economic Development Commission.
What do you mean, just to verify that the
right
after the fact?
Well, like what you're doing now, because they're both going to be meeting in December and they can both touch on these issues and move forward. So it wouldn't slow anything down at all.
That's fine. That's good. All right.
Does that make sense?
I didn't quite. I know that we're telling the daycare to go forward on the parallel path. I didn't quite get the.
We would add this as a parallel path. In other words, that would get the process set up so notices could be made for ZBA. And at the same time, ask at the next EDC meeting, at the same time that they're considering the daycare idea, mm-hmm. opining on it, consider these additions to the
ORIC. I think we can ask them, Lance, to look at it.
Right.
I mean, I think we vote on tonight. There's nothing to say we can't ask the commission to look at anything.
That was my,
Totally agree with that. So I, yes, of course. And we'll ask the commission just to make, verify it. It won't change anything that we're going to vote on tonight, unless they have something else that they want to add, which is okay too. They can always add it.
Well, and even if they added it, it would just be more information going to the zoning board.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
ultimately for the board to decide as a final matter when everything comes back to the board, because nothing is finalized till it comes back to the board.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. And then I've got another question that Beth brought up. All this, the height and density and impact to the village, all of those, I think get done through the plan development effort when there's a development, right? I mean, we look at things, density, the impact to the schools, light, all that is.
Yes, absolutely. The plan development process would review any landscaping, any buffering effect on traffic flow and parking. That would all be scrutinized as part of the public hearing process through the development review board.
Okay.
And one other question, Matt, did the recommendation from Housiel change at all after the resident input from the EDC meetings and the stakeholder meetings? How was that taken into account in the Housiel recommendation?
Sure. I think one example, I believe the first draft or first conversation that Housiel Levine had come forward with was reducing the two-car parking requirement per unit down to one car per unit. That was a concern from the EDC members and also residents. So what's proposed now is a 1.5 spot per unit. So somewhat of a compromise between what was originally proposed and what is being brought forward to the ZBA. That's one example. And I think a similar change was made for the unit size. But I think the parking has ramifications on the density, because in a landlocked town, if you're not able to provide enough parking, you're not able to do enough density, because we don't have parking garages or other village surface lots to in Madison Street or other things to kind of help provide that, like other towns might do.
So the resident input was taken into account for parking and for square footage, did you say? Okay.
Yeah, I'll say that there were
kind of in there too. I think we talked about it.
Correct. I think there were still some concerns that were outstanding. There's concerns about density. So I would say that the residents would have wanted even more changes, but the Economic Development Commission was comfortable with where the direction was.
Okay. Super. All right. Thanks, Matt.
Actually, I just have one question in terms of process. So we're going to put this in front. So basically, the village administrative staff will draft language, and then it goes like into review, and with resident input could change further.
So the Zoning Board of Appeals will have a public hearing where residents and anyone can come and provide input on the proposed language, and the Zoning Board of Appeals will accept that feedback, and they may change the language. The Zoning Board of Appeals may change the language before making a recommendation to us, to the Village Board, and then the Village Board could accept those changes as they come forward, or refer it back, or kind of adopt what the board wants to.
So this is just starting the process.
But yes, it may change, the process.
And will the resident input that's been received so far all be forwarded to the ZBA as well?
Yes, we will do that.
Sure. Thanks.
That was a direction from the EDC to share the letters that had been shared with the EDC, and also the minutes of the Economic Development Commission, I think, will be helpful context for zoning board.
Good stuff. All righty. Good stuff. All right. Thank you for the questions. Let's go ahead and take the vote on this, please.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we'll move on to new business. Item 9A. If I can get a motion and a second on 9A.
I move to approve an ordinance amending the village code to add an additional classification of vehicle licenses to recognize active duty service persons and veterans.
And I'm just going to put it on the table that I would rather abstain from this vote, since I have an active military person in my family, and I'm just going above reproach in terms of influence of any kind. Thank you.
Oh, okay. So you're recusing yourself. All right.
I will second his motion.
Okay, thanks. All right. Any questions regarding it? It looks fairly straightforward. Yeah. It's a good thing to do. So hearing no further questions, I'd ask the clerk to take the vote. And you just say what?
Abstain.
She abstains.
Yeah, abstain. So don't call her. Yep. Yeah, don't call her.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
She abstains.
She abstains. She should just say so. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
All right. Real good. Thank you, guys. All right. So let's go down to 9B. This is, again, if I can get a motion in a second, and then I'll have Mindy talk.
Motion to approve an ordinance amending the village code regarding commemorative ribbons on village parkway trees.
Okay.
All right. All right, Mindy.
Hi, I'm Mindy Creedy, 1452 Park Avenue. And I want to thank the village board for recognizing and hopefully voting to approve the amendment to allow ribbons on boulevard trees. So thank you in advance for your positive vote. On the other hand, I was kind of taken aback by our esteemed attorney's comment that we're a complaint-driven village. And I don't think it should be the responsibility of residents to make complaints about violations of ordinances. And so in that spirit, I'm not going to make public complaints. Can I bring?
Yeah, bring them over here. What do you got? Okay.
So on a beautiful afternoon, I had the opportunity to go around the village. We have multiple things attached to trees by screws, nails, bolts, rods. We have stones leaning up against trees, and we have swings on ropes. My favorite one is the Certificate of Appreciation for the sustainability from the Sustainability Commission that is nailed to a tree. It's silly. So, you know, we have plenty of, you know, and it's not, I don't want our police department stopping at every house or blah, blah, blah. But it isn't just one of our person's responsibility. I think there's been many trustees that have talked about the canopies, how much we've invested in our trees. It's beautiful here. And so I think we all should take a vested interest and eliminate as quickly as possible things that are attached to trees. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. We should look at what's nailed into these trees. I mean, so can we agree on the, around the board here that Matt should look at the ones that are nailed onto the trees?
Sure.
Okay. And the other, you know, but, and then try to make some accommodations with the owners?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Matt, the bottom left is my house.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
My daughter and I hand-painted that stone with our address sign on it that's leaning against the tree.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Is it bruising the tree?
No, we move it every once in a while.
Get one of those stands, you know, you put like a picture.
Is that nailed?
Do you have a felt pad behind the stone?
Maybe we need that. I'm going to ask, since it's on the parkway.
All right. Maybe I... All right. Well, we'll figure that out.
Well, can I comment on that? Because Trustee Gillis has, I don't know if it was hand painted, but you have one in front of your house, but it's in a stand. I think it's your house. It's in a stand, and it doesn't lean against the tree. So I think there's a way to remedy it. And again, I wasn't trying to call out anybody. Okay? I don't want to call. Well, no, because I only gave it to you guys, and you self-identified.
Okay.
I didn't name anybody else on here. So, you know, in all, you know.
All right.
And the other thing I'd say is please, you know, if please don't distribute this, because it does have some. Has a resident's name on the certificate, and I would want that blocked out because I'm not trying to out anyone. I mean, we had an unfortunate situation a couple weeks ago that didn't result so well. Oh. So I apologize to those neighbors, and I don't want that to happen to these.
Okay, understood. Well, we're okay, board, that they should take down the nails. And okay, very good.
Yeah, I think she's right on this. We do need to make sure we're looking out for this.
Yeah, so. Because that is what our ordinance is.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to the meat of the ordinance. So obviously this is the change. Julie, you're here. Mm-hmm. Dr. Gellner, you're here. I mean, thank you again for being here. Appreciate your comments last time. Again, none of it was it was a good way for us to look at that ordinance and realize just how it needed to be amended and properly amended. So for that, I thank you for giving us a chance to make it right and correct it. So, and I think it reads proper. I think you'd agree.
I just have one question, though, being the lawyer in the group.
Yep.
It says ribbons are to be removed if they are in poor condition. Does that mean either the owner where the parkway is at having the ribbon, or is that the village, or both?
It's a good question.
Who is the one responsible to remove the ribbons if they're in poor condition?
So the way we talked about a couple aspects. Mm-hmm. I had suggested maybe we want to put a time limit, but Matt, and to the mm-hmm. point made earlier, there's a very small staff here. So when I say right. complaint driven, it's just out of total necessity, not a lack of desire to enforce the codes. But Matt pointed out with 60 days, how are we going to monitor that? It's not practical to enforce. And that made perfect sense to me. So we took it out. The good condition is basically a way. So when you allow the ribbons, if it's in poor condition, to ask that they be removed or swapped out. Yeah. Legally, it either could deal with it. The village yeah. has the authority because it's on village property and it's a village tree. But as a practical matter, many of these ribbons have personal importance to the people that put them there. And so as a policy matter, staff probably wouldn't do that. They would right. probably contact the ownership and ask them to deal with the fact that it appears to be tattered or faded to the point of not, you know, being more of a blight situation than a message, I guess.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear so that if, for example, the ribbon is in poor condition, I just didn't want the village to get, you know, sued for removing the ribbon.
Yeah. I don't know if he'd ever remove
it. Yeah. No, there'd be no risk of that legally. Okay. Causing offense could be a very real possibility, but I think that wouldn't happen unless notice was given and a warning given that, you know, unless it's taken okay. down or replaced, staff
right.
will be forced okay. to remove it.
Right. I yeah. think it would be kind of a courtesy reminder yeah. with
okay.
just to keep staff from getting involved and also to notify the neighbor that it's not, if we were to take it down, that it wasn't a neighbor or somebody else taking it down for whatever that might be. It's possible that there are some ribbons out there yeah. in front of a home that aren't owned by the property that's right there. So we may yeah. run into that issue if it's really okay. coming tattered and we can't determine. I think the staff would probably take a step to remove
okay. it. Okay. As long as you give notice to the resident, yeah. that's all. Okay.
Right.
Do we also have to add something regarding damage to trees? And the only reason I'm saying that is if a ribbon is on a tree for a long time and is, like, you know, forgotten, it will negatively impact the tree. So I think there has to be something about reasonable time period upon which it should be removed. And I know we're getting into the details, but no.
Who's going to police that?
Well, I think I would say actually when we're doing park tree trimming, if there's a ribbon that's negatively impacting the tree, it should be able to be taken down at the time when we're doing that tree trimming.
I mean, wouldn't there be these ribbons unless they're attached in improperly, meaning with nails, which are not supposed to penetrate the bark, would they really negatively affect the health of a tree even if they're just tied there?
Yeah, they can. As the tree grows, and it's like a tight belt on something that's growing. So I think you're accurate.
So you're already giving the warning if it's either getting old and decrepit, but you can also do it if you're saying add that on there also if it starts to. So they're going to get the warning either way, but we should add it in there is what you're saying. So
a time, but what are you going to put?
Yeah.
Okay.
Deal with it now, I bet. Here's a proposal. The last sentence of the definition where it says ribbons are to be removed if they are in poor condition or are creating any conditions yeah. that are detrimental to the health of a tree. Yeah.
It cuts off the circulation.
Yeah. But,
well, I agree with your amendment. I agree with that language.
And I mean, you know,
what okay.
could have that, but I mean, at the end, I mean, wouldn't we know that when we're going out and trimming trees?
Like to just make it clear, I don't see the hurt in adding it, but yes, you would do that when you're tree trimming. You could look at the tree and anything. If a ribbon looks like it's hurting the tree, you take it down.
Subjective, meaning it's somebody's.
Okay. I would say there's less subjectivity to that than there is to what's in poor condition, because you'd probably look to an arborist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But someone has to determine that. So someone has to say, oh, this tree looks like it's unhealthy, and let's bring an arborist in. Mindy,
it's not the point.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've already addressed that. Okay. We addressed the rods and trees. So thanks. Okay.
I mean, I think it should be added, but it is a situation where when we find that out, we do the appropriate things. So the way that you read it, it will account for that. Once we determine or find out that there's an issue with the tree, we'll take the appropriate steps. So by including that language, you cover it all.
Creates another level of difficulty. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but it's up to you guys.
I like the language. I think it accounts for the health of the trees.
So what's there now? Ribbons are to be removed in good condition.
Microphone, please.
Sorry, Bob. Ribbons are to be removed if they are in poor condition, comma, or if they are in any way negatively affecting the health of a tree.
Now, I could just say you could put determine to negatively affect the health of the tree. I don't know if that's...
And who determines that?
Well, in that situation, it would be an arborist. I mean,
it would be our staff arborist would probably be
It's not going to be your next door neighbor.
So that would be,
I think that's the issue. So then I would only agree to it if you say it's our staff, our arborist.
Yeah, our village.
That's the only way. I would agree, because otherwise we're going to have everybody saying this is killing the tree.
Yeah, I mean, the way I was looking at it, it just says are in poor condition. Who determines that?
We do.
Staff. Yeah. So and it doesn't say that.
I think we have to put it in to be real clear. Otherwise, it's going to be not clear. And people are going to determine on their own what you know, our neighbors are not going to be arborists. So
then what I would suggest, so that it covers both items, because if it covers one, it should cover both, is ribbons are to be removed if they are determined by village staff to be in poor condition or are negatively affecting the health of the tree.
Seems like it covers that.
Is that good?
It seems like it. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would just even leave staff out. Determined by the village.
Right. I think staff. Who's a, not going to be?
Well,
me.
It could we'll be the staff.
We'll take it.
I mean, it's a staff. It's a staff. I ain't going to guarantee it.
I will determine it. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
My trusty biscuit.
I've had nightmares with the village staff.
Ooh.
No, I'm just saying
it's a long list.
I think we take that offline, right?
No. What I'm saying is, okay, you got Lisa Gillis, who would probably knows more about a tree, and what if the village staff?
Well, the village staff will talk with Lisa.
So, do the people who made the motion and seconded it have to agree to adding your language now?
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, good. I would simply start a new motion so we get it cleanly done.
Well. We don't have it written down. Did someone write it down? So, so you're going to move and Ken's going to second.
All right.
Okay. Did you write it down?
I'm writing the script for you.
He's writing the script, the language.
I mean, I think we got it. We don't need a new one, do we?
Made it.
No, just amend it.
You don't need a new one, but you need to agree. You're right about that.
Yeah,
certainly, that there needs to be agreement on what we're voting on.
So what we're going to do is amend the current motion. So and Lance is writing that up.
Okay.
All right.
Ribbons. The proposed motion that I'm suggesting is a motion would be to approve the ordinance as presented, with the definition section, the last sentence thereof being changed from what it currently reads to as follows. Ribbons are to be removed if they are determined by village staff to be in poor condition or are otherwise detrimental to the health of the tree.
Okay. Are you okay, Lisa? Katie?
Yeah.
Say so moved.
So moved.
So moved. So moved.
Well, you had it.
Or so
we're
amended.
Amending it. Who so moved? Amended. Oh, you did.
No, she did.
Oh, I'm did
Lisa did it.
That's
why. And
yeah, I get a second.
So,
yeah,
second. So amended.
Okay, and so.
Yeah. So seconded.
So seconded.
So seconded.
Okay.
All right. So let's get in.
We're okay. Good.
Any further questions, comments on hearing none? Let's go ahead and take the vote.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks, guys. All right, moving on to item C. I get a motion and a second on this ordinance, and then we'll discuss it.
Okay. I move to approve an ordinance to provide required paid leave benefits for employees working within and for the village.
Okay. So, Lance, you want to go through this or Matt? Yeah. Okay.
So this ordinance addresses two things. One is responding to the new state Paid Leave Act, which goes into effect January 1st, which is it's filled with ambiguities and uncertainties. And this ordinance tries to capitalize on the most generous ability for a municipality to preserve as much freedom in deciding what it does with paid leave for its own staff. So it appears to, there is language in the act that suggests a sort of grandfathering provision, but it's not completely clear. And the IML, everyone's sort of struggled with it. All local government attorneys have looked at it, but this ordinance tries to capitalize on the ability of this potential grandfathering section that seems to say that if you have something in place already, you can keep it, but allow freedom of a municipality to deal with its paid leave in the way that it sees fit. The biggest uncertainty here, or the biggest problem, most municipalities as employers provide plenty of paid leave, but the problem comes about because of seasonal or part-time employees and how it's going to affect them. And so this creates a certain floor without having the act go into full effect in a way that would be detrimental to the village and its budget and the way it deals with its employees and its best judgment. The ordinance also deals with a Cook County ordinance that tries to guarantee paid leave and applies to all employers. And like the village did with the sick leave Cook County ordinance, which purportedly applied to the whole of Cook County, including the incorporated areas, and also the minimum wage ordinance some years ago, many Cook County municipalities, quote unquote, the common term was called opt out. In reality, what they did is under the Illinois Constitution, there's a section of the Illinois Constitution that says that we're a home rule county, which means Cook County, because there is only one home rule Cook County out of the 102. The other 101 are non-home rule counties. Where a home rule county provides legislation that is in conflict with any municipal ordinance that is in that county, the municipal ordinance shall prevail. And that's what the Constitution says. And so by creating this conflict, you create a situation where the village ordinance will prevail. So for the minimum wage, the village adopted an ordinance that said that the federal and state minimum wage laws apply to employers within the village. Now, they already did, but by doing that, since it was not the same as the new Cook County one, it guaranteed that that would remain the minimum requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's it. Any questions for Lance on this? Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward what this ordinance will do. I think. It's a lot into it. Okay. Hearing no questions, let's go ahead and take the vote, please.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. So we'll move on to then our acceptance of the property tax levy. I need a motion and a second, and then Rosie will go through.
Move to accept the 2023 corporate aggregate property tax levy in the amount of $9,354,865.
Second. Okay,
great. All right, Rosie.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh, is it pushed? Is it green?
Hmm?
Oh, no, it wasn't. No. Somebody turned it off. Good evening. As you see in your memo there, we are here tonight to talk about the 2023 property tax estimate. The village is required to determine the estimate of the levy at least 20 days prior to the approval of the levy, because if the estimated levy is over 105% of the 2022 extension, a black border notice must be published and a public hearing must be held prior to the approval of the levy. The requested increase in 2023 levy is less than the 5%. Therefore, notices of the hearing and a hearing are not required. The 2023 levy includes a 4% increase in the village's portion of the corporate levy. Per the PTEL, which is the Property Tax Extension Limitation Law, a taxing authority can levy a tax of the lesser of up to 105% of the prior year extended levy or the CPI increase over the 12-month period, which is December 21st to December 2022. The CPI increase during that period was 6.5%. The village made a conscious and thoughtful decision to take a modest 4% increase over the extended levy. Property taxes on new construction with an estimated value of $2 million, as determined by building permits issued, is not included in this valuation. By not including new construction dollars, River Forest property taxpayers will benefit as a whole. The village did not increase the levy last year for new construction, and the actual new property added to the tax roll in 2022 was just over $1.5 million in new property. By not accounting for new construction dollars year after year, which we have done for at least the last 5 years, the overall tax rate for the village should decrease. The average resident should see approximately a 3.04% increase in the village portion of the levy of the tax bill on your tax bill. The village strives to continue to seek economic development opportunities to further lower taxes for all taxpayers. The levy includes the police and fire pension fund levies. As we see each year, these continue to grow. The pension fund levies are based on the actuarial reports prepared by the village's actuary, Lauterbach and Amon, using the pension funding policies that are in place that were adopted several years ago. Per the funding policy by the village board, both pension funds now use the same actuarial assumptions, including a 7% interest rate assumption. The police pension board chooses, though, to also recommend a 6.75% interest assumption on the levy they recommend to the village board. The village board uses the 7%, but the pension board recommends to the village board a 6.7% interest rate. For both funds this year, the amount of contributions is higher than we budgeted. This is due to, if you recall last year, I don't know if you recall, there was a change, the actuarial assumptions. They had a programming change, which caused our actual levy amounts to decrease, but we agreed, the pension boards agreed with the actuarial to smooth this over a 5-year period. The actual decrease in the funding amounts should change on a future benefit, estimating over a 3% reduction in the benefit costs. But the amount that was budgeted, we will do a budget amendment before you approve the final estimate, so that the budget equals what we're going to levy. Mm-hmm. The total increase from last year's levy for the pension funding is $72,454. The debt service and the library levies are also included in the total village levy. The debt service amount included is the full amount of the 2023 available debt service base. The debt service extension base is the amount the village is authorized to levy for principal and interest payments without a referendum. We will again this winter issue a new 2-year bond issuance, and that final bond issuance will be included in the bond ordinance. And once approved, it will be filed with county also. The approval of the 2023 property tax levy will be included on the agenda for the December 18th Village Board meeting. If you have any questions, now feel free.
I don't have any questions. I just comments. I mean, first of all, thank you for keeping the percent levy reasonable. I know we have to take some given the inflation of, where we're at and pension liabilities that we're at. But I think that seems reasonable. And I also think not taking new construction is also a good thing for our community. I mean, people don't realize that, but it does help, like you said, bring down that tax rate slightly. So, as we get more new construction, that will bring it slightly down. So it's good stuff. Thank you very much, Rosie.
Okay.
So any other questions for Rosie?
No, thank you.
Okay. And we also showed in the newsletter kind of our comparatives. So we're in a good spot. So, all right. I will ask the clerk to take the vote.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Okay, then the last but not least, the last one for second floor improvement. So,
I would like to make a motion to authorize the village administrator to execute the necessary agreements and improve payment in the amount of $20,000 to effectuate the order with Very Sales Corporation.
Second.
All right. Any questions for Matt on the furniture? Pretty straightforward. All right. Thank you. So hearing none, we'll go ahead and take the vote.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay, that includes our open session. We have no executive session, so we'll go ahead and adjourn. So if I can get a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second. All right.
Okay.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
President Adusi.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.